Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. It's time to grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening in the stars above for the week ahead. It's April Fool's Day. And before I came on this morning, I went, oh my God, I don't have my coffee sitting here. So I just did like a 360 degree revolution around my house looking for my coffee, and it was sitting right here. It's too many things going on in my head this morning. hopefully not all of you are feeling that. Of course, today is Mercury retrograde, right? That today is one of the things that we're going to be talking about is Mercury's retrograde, and he will be retrograde in Aries from April 1st today until the 25th. And then of course the little shadow period just after that. And on top of that, it is just, you know, I'm leaving this morning after the show to go back to my sister's house. So I'm trying to pack. The cat was sitting in my suitcase. She doesn't want me to go. Oh, God. It's just a busy morning. Hopefully all of you had a wonderful Easter, a good weekend. It was beautiful weather here, and that always makes it feel so much nicer. And, you know, even in the face of the number of astrological transits that we are facing for this month, I think overall, the direction might be moving us into a good place, right? So even though some of the things we're going to talk about over these next couple of weeks might seem kind of daunting, and in fact, they could be for some people, for all of us who are in the know, we are going to be working through all of those things, those changes in our lives, hopefully with grace and with ease. At least that is my intention as we move forward here. So we'll be talking about Mercury's retrograde for this show. We'll be talking about Venus's move into Aries later this week. She moves into the sign of Mars territory. She will meet up in a very creative way, hopefully for the next few weeks after that. But before she meets up with Aries energy, she has a final kind of kiss goodbye to Neptune as she passes out of Pisces and on into Aries. So we'll talk about that as well. But we'll start the day with where our moon is. I hope you enjoyed the moon in Sagittarius all weekend. It was a beautiful time. In fact, right out the window here to my southwest, I could see the moon all night long, basically, right, as it was moving. It feels like the moon is on a very southern declination right now, and sometimes that stretches the energy of the moon in a way that kind of exacerbates things, right, makes it bigger, kind of challenges us in some ways. The best way that I knew to deal with any challenges over the weekend was to get outside. Sagittarian was that very nature-loving sign. Getting outdoors, woohoo, good thing to do. But now we start this week with the moon in Capricorn, a completely different feel from the moon in Sagittarius, because the moon in Capricorn blends the emotional discipline of the Saturn-ruled sign of Capricorn with the emotional expression and intuitive expression of the moon in its rulership, which is Cancer, the opposite sign from Capricorn. So it really brings, for the next couple of days, the ideas around work and working, discipline in our actions and in trying to reach our goals, ambition, pragmatism, earthiness, up to the forefront. So because Capricorn is known for its practicality, its determination, its focus on long-term goals, when the moon transits, then our aim should be to see what steps we could take in the interim, in the short term, that will support our moving forward. And, you know, the moon, Capricorn and Cancer are opposing signs. The moon rules Cancer, and that's why I'm bringing that to your attention. And Saturn rules Capricorn. So when the moon is transiting through the sign of Capricorn, some of the emotional energy is toned down for a while, right? It gives us this time to see things maybe a little dispassionately, with maybe eyes that are more neutral, even without the emotional baggage. So there's a certain amount of emotional reserve around us when the moon is transiting through the sign of Capricorn. We may be more guarded in our emotions at this time. So the Capricorn energy is more stoic, even more rigid, if you will, has a tendency to keep emotions in check. And that means that we can proceed forward without the emotional baggage if we're willing to do that, right? We have to be willing. Now, there's also ambition and drive with the moon in Capricorn. We have goals in our lives. If you have goals, then this is a time to actually work your goals, to put them forth into the world. Maybe you have more focus at this point in time than maybe at other times, because the moon here is more focused. It's more focused on the practical and the realistic, because it is about realism when we're talking Capricorn. We may find ourselves and others less swayed by emotional outbursts or emotions than usual as well. There is, you know, that reserve that the moon has in Capricorn is not necessarily stoic without feeling the feelings. It's more stoic, and I'll reserve my expression of those emotions until I'm alone, perhaps, or until it is a better time, right? That is how that works. But there's also an emphasis on duty and responsibility, very Saturnian words. And since Saturn rules Capricorn, we bring this into the next few days of transits. We may feel a heightened sense of obligation and of the need to complete obligations, right? Or to be serious about our obligations and fulfill our responsibilities to ourselves, but to others as well. So, and that can be in both the professional sphere and in your personal life. And it can lead to then a greater focus on productivity and on accomplishment, getting things done. The moon here is much more aligned with getting things done than the emotional response to the world around them. Now, Capricorn is also associated with our social status and with our reputation in the social sphere. So during this time, we may feel more like we need to be mindful of how we're perceived by others. We can have a sort of desire to uphold a certain image or reputation, and that can lead us to have a more cautious approach in our work or in our social engagements and so forth. It's very much more kind of reserved. There's a boundary that we're not as willing to cross here. But overall, now that doesn't sound very sexy or exciting, and that's okay, right? It's a time for us to get stuff done. It's a time for emotional discipline. It's a time to focus on ambition and practicality. It's a time for setting realistic goals or working on your goals in a realistic way. And then in the process, approaching any challenges that come up, with responsibility or an attitude of responsibility without flying off the handle and getting overly emotion. So it is also a time when the moon is either in a relationship with Saturn or in the sign of Capricorn. Sometimes there's the feeling of, where did my feelings go? Of not being very expressive. It can dampen down our enthusiasm a bit. Not to be worried about that or disheartened by it, just to know that it's a time that your mind is needing to be more disciplined rather than wandering off into many different areas. So there's that. Let's say good morning to everybody. I first saw Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel out there this morning. Thank you so much, Debbie, for the lovely cards. We're going to play with those today. And Pam Zaruba, April Fool's Day, you all. Yes, April Fool's Day today. I kind of incorporated that theme into the thumbprint for the thumbnail for the the video this morning. J-Lo says, happy Monday. Amy D, happy Monday. I've been feeling Mercury retrograde already. Me too. That's because we've been in the shadow since March 18th. So some of us who have Mercury retrograde in our natal charts, and I do, and I'm a Gemini, so it's my ruling planet as well, can feel more sensitive to the upcoming retrogrades. And indeed, I've been having, you know, not major issues with my tech this time, thankfully, but irritating issues with my tech. And yet I've been able to sort of figure it out and move through it each time. So interesting that I'm going to be on the road traveling on a Mercury retrograde day. You can bet I'm going to be very aware of everything that's going on around me, because Mercury also rules transportation, right? Cars and buses, not the car itself, but the transportation. Where does the car take me? Where does the bus take me? Where does the plane take me? And some of the bumps and bruises along the way sometimes in our travels. So, but it's usually the time before the retrograde, then it smooths out during the retrograde, and then the time after the retrograde where things are wonkiest for me. And that's because having Mercury retrograde natally, I'm already used to being more cautious and being more in tune with what's happening around me that way. Good morning, Teddy. Good morning. He says, great seeing you yesterday. It was good to see you. You and Patty looked really good yesterday. Catherine Worcester, good morning to you. And Nancy Ross, good morning. Asa, hello there. Amanda J, happy April to you as well. Jolie, good morning. Christine Buckingham says, good morning. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. So far, the sun is out, and I am looking forward to spring, really springing. April is one of those times. All right. So while we are on the subject of the Mercury retrograde, let's dig into it a little bit, shall we? So Mercury will be retrograde from April 1st until April 25th. So about 3 full weeks. And I'm looking up. I did not turn my calendar yet. It still says March. So 3 full weeks. That's not unusual to have it that long. And then, of course, 3 weeks after we are in that shadow, 2 to 3 weeks after we're in the shadow period. So when Mercury is retrograde, we have a mix of challenges and opportunities that come up. I hesitate to make people think that a Mercury retrograde is a bad thing. It really isn't. It does cause us to slow down a titch. And that might be difficult with it being in the sign of Aries, but I would, you know, challenge all of you to slow things down, slow down your thinking, slow down your actions. Try to remember this is not a good time to be impulsive, even though there's this preponderance of energy in Aries, a sign of fire and one that wants to move forward that is impulsive, right? Try to temper that with common sense. And try to temper that with patience, right? Patience will be your friend for these next few weeks. Now, Mercury, of course, rules communication. It rules the mind. It rules transportation and technology. So we might have some technological glitches along the way, but we also have that fiery and assertive Aries energy during this time as well. So the first thing that I think about is communication challenges. And by that, I mean, Aries is an impulsive energy. It's bold. It pretty much wants to say what it wants to say and when it wants to say it. So it can be somewhat confrontational. And if not confrontational, very assertive and maybe even downright aggressive. So we want to make sure that the retrograde, which can lead to misunderstandings or to miscommunication and conflicts, doesn't end up painting your communication in a very confrontational way, right? We want to make sure that we don't jump to conclusions, that we don't challenge other people with our words, right? It is not a time to, you know, call people names as you're walking down the street because they irritate you because you don't know how they're going to respond to that. It is also a time to double check your emails and your texts and any important communication or messages before sending them to make sure that they actually say what you want them to say, right? That you don't inadvertently put in something. And let's say you're intending to do one thing to meet somebody at a certain time, but you know, you put down the wrong date and time, and then there's the miscommunication and you don't get to meet, right? So those kinds of things are important. Decision-making during this time. I'm of two minds here, as a good Gemini always would be, about communication at this time, or about decision-making, excuse me, at this time. Because, you know, for one thing, in a Mercury retrograde, decision-making should be a little bit more involved, right? Not so impulsive. But also with decision-making in a Mercury retrograde, we don't want to just say we don't make decisions. We can't do that. We can't do that even when, because of Aries energy. Aries wants movement. So what we can do at best is avoid rushing into decisions without fully considering the consequences of your actions or of your inaction, such as it may be. It's crucial that we slow down, that we carefully evaluate our options, and avoid making hasty decisions during this period of time, especially if it's possible you may regret that decision later, okay? Being careful, not being, you know, avoiding of making decisions, but being careful, just being careful. So, for example, the best way that I could tell you about decision making during a Mercury retrograde is to default to your type and strategy and authority in your human design. If you're a projector, for example, you're going to wait for the invitation to get involved in something new and then follow your authority, which could be emotional, it could be spleen, which means you are either spontaneous with the spleen or you need careful consideration, waiting for clarity over time with the emotional center. You all have your own human design charts, I hope, and you know then what your type and your strategy is, and then what your authority is, because that's going to tell you how you make best decisions, right? So be careful of that. Technology and travel disruptions with Mercury retrograde. Can't avoid it, right? Things are going to happen. In Aries, these disruptions can be more sudden and intense, such as the bridge that fell and bigger accidents or bad weather sometimes with a Mercury retrograde, causing delays that seem, you know, out of sorts or out of like over the top kind of delays. So you just be prepared for them, right? You be prepared for your technical glitches by backing up your computer. Expect unexpected detours when you're traveling. I'm ready for that today and on Wednesday when I come back. Back up your all of your devices, your phones, your computers, your Kindles, your tablets. Make sure they're backed up and updated, right? Updated. And any time that you are dealing with your technology, just know sometimes things are out of your control with that. I have to remind myself this all the time, all of the time. But sometimes I'm better at not responding with anger. Other times I'm not so good at that. Revisiting past conflicts. A funny thing happens with Mercury retrograde quite frequently, and that is people or things or issues from the past that you thought were resolved or people that were gone from your life come back, right? They come back, especially if there was unresolved conflict between you and another person or you and a group, right? The issue can come back, and it's an opportunity. Think of it as an opportunity to address any of the unresolved anger, the unresolved issues between you and other people, or finding closure with that group or with that thing or with that person in your life. But approach any discussions with people, especially if this is tricky for you, with patience and be diplomatic, be tactful. Don't blurt, right? You don't want to be blurting things. You don't want to sit and blame others, right? Take responsibility for your own part in any unresolved conflict. And sometimes you don't even have to have the other person there to help you resolve a conflict with someone, right? You can do a soul-to-soul connection with someone. If, for example, an issue comes up, an unresolved issue comes back up at you, but that person isn't in your life, you can just go into quiet, you know, meditation or contemplation and validate your role in that, forgive yourself for any role you played in that, forgive that other person. You don't have to have them there. You can soothe this unresolved conflict very quickly if you're willing and open to see your role in it. So other times, though, it is finding closure with someone that's actually in your life. And you want to be aware of just how to have that conversation in a supportive way. But also others now, because I'm talking to you, so you're aware. But there's a lot of people out there that aren't aware that Mercury's turned retrograde in Aries. They have no clue why it is that they are suddenly very conflicted or confrontational, and they come at you. Remember, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, right? You just have to say, okay, maybe we should have this conversation at another time, or I understand that you're upset. Anything that you can do to soothe it a little bit. So it can work either way with Mercury retrograde in Aries. Now, another great opportunity that we all have during Mercury's retrograde in Aries is to reassess our goals and our plans. And remember, we're sitting here just 7 days out from a new moon solar eclipse, possibly one of the most impactful solar eclipses in a very long time. They're all impactful, but this one's kind of jacked up a titch. And that means that we have this possibility, if we reassess our goals and our plans, that we might be able to move forward in a way that is with more ease, maybe quicker than what we might normally do. Because that means, because we're taking the time, right? We're taking the time to listen into our higher selves. We're taking the time. We're not rushing into making decisions. So we have this opportunity now with Mercury retrograde in Aries to review our goals, to review projects that we've been engaged in, plans for your future, right? Time to reassess, realign, reevaluate, right? And get moving in a new direction, perhaps, or, you know, being able to see, is this the pause before I take my next step? You might need to revise strategies that you've, you know, made for taking care of something and reconsider what your priorities are. When we slow down, we can see what's really important and what's not. And if we don't slow down, we might miss new information that's coming in from Mercury's passage here that comes to light and helps us determine what is the next correct step to take. Okay, so slowing down, listening, and being willing to you know, be open to revising or changing whatever your plans are. And of course, self-reflection and introspection. Aries's independent nature encourages us to be more self-reflective and not necessarily introspective, but with Mercury retrograde here in Aries, it's a possibility that introspection becomes a friend, right? So take time to tune into your personal desires, your motivations, your ambitions. Tune into them, right? You don't have to tune into everybody else's. Use this time period to reassess what it is that you want, right? What do I desire? In fact, Aries is the sign of the I am, right? I am, the I, not the we so much, although the we is activated as well because Libra is the opposite sign. But make any necessary adjustments to align with your authentic self during this time. It will be invaluable to you, especially when we have a solar eclipse also happening in Aries, conjunct Chiron just a week later, right? Or just a week into the retrograde. Remember to have patience, to be flexible. As with any Mercury retrograde period, patience is always necessary. And flexibility is also a key that we can have in our toolbox, if you will, that will help us along the way of the retrograde. And things may not always go according to plan. Just maintain a positive attitude about it. and just wait and see what is opening up for you for your next steps. Because sometimes the changing circumstances align us more fully with an easier path forward, right? Maybe we were trying to take the long way home when the short way would have been much better. So overall, Mercury retrograde in Aries is asking us to slow down, to reassess our goals, and communicate with clarity and with intention, with confidence, but without confrontation. So by, you know, really transiting, being mindful during this time of this transit, you can really harness the potential for growth and self-discovery while minimizing its disruptive effects. So, and again, wherever Aries is in your chart, mine happens to be in the 10th house. If this chart that I pulled for today were a chart of a person, it would be Aries in the 11th house, right over here. That's where Aries is. And already before, you know, we have Mercury there, we have Eris, we have Chiron, the North Node, and the Sun. And we're going to add Venus to that this week as well. So puts a lot of focus in that one sign. And that also puts a lot of focus of Aries energy in the house it is in your personal chart, right? It's huge. It's a huge time. And it, I think it also causes us personally to call into question our I am selves. And it can trigger feelings of low self-esteem or low value or low self-worth. It can show us quite unequivocally where it is that we have settled for less, where we are in some way compromising ourselves. And the need here is to find our correct identity, live it out loud, move forward with our goals and dreams, right? You're not hurting anybody else except yourself if you don't do that, right? You're not being selfish. And self-centered is a good word to bring up and highlight here at this time, because self-centered means that you're coming from a place of personal strength, of personal courage, right? And then that leaves you the space to help others, right? And to be selfless in the giving of your time, of your whatever, for others, but only when your own cup is filled first, right? Always remember that. It is not selfish to take care of you so that you could be there to help others. If you don't, things start to fall apart over time. It is not sustainable to give, but never give back to yourself or receive. Okay. I get off my soapbox there. all right. Good morning to Narges, and good morning to, Ty Lynn. That is Jacqueline Tyler. Good morning. Terry Strauss. Good morning. She says, oh, I'm good. It takes me 30 days anyway. Our resident reflector, who has a strategy of making big decisions with time, and that time is a lunar cycle, 28 days. So Terry, I'm so glad you're aware of that and make good use of that energy of time. Jane Robinson, good morning. She said, I've upped my self-care practices for this month, meditation and fitness. Very good. Good, good, good. And it is from, you know, filling your own cup that you can actually be strong, that you can face the challenges of the day, right? Or face the challenges of the week or of just life in general. But when you're depleted, that is very difficult to do. Jolie is starting a new job tomorrow. How awesome is that? And I'm sure others of you are starting new things, even in the face of this Mercury retrograde. Don't be afraid of that. Just know, read the bottom lines on everything. All right. Taking a look at what's next. There's two big things after Wednesday that we want to talk about. So Venus conjunct Neptune in Pisces, right? So Venus is still in Pisces today, and she will conjunct Neptune on Wednesday. So this is for Wednesday. And, You know, Venus is the planet of love and values, our self-worth, our finances. It is the resources, our earning, you know, our earning power, but also our giving power. And Neptune, of course, is about imagination, sensitivity, psychic sensitivity, idealism, sometimes delusion and illusion, depending on how Neptune is playing out in your own particular chart. So when we have Venus coming together with Neptune, here's how I think of this. Neptune rules higher love, right? Like unconditional love. So, you know, you could call it spiritual love, like the love that comes from the divine. It's all encompassing. It's unconditional. It's a loving presence. It's not necessarily love like we feel when we hug one another or give each other kisses or that kind of thing, or relationship love. It's bigger than that. That's Neptune love. Venus, however, rules the more affectionate love, the more romantic love, right? It is the human love, right? Or the way humans love one another. So we have the two big forces of love coming together in a conjunction. And I think that's a call to all of us to get into a more loving space for ourselves and for others, sharing of ourselves in a more loving way or in a more unconditionally loving way. But for one thing, Venus involved with Neptune brings up the idea of romantic idealism, being romantically caught up in the illusion or dream of love. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It just means, though, it makes it harder for us to see the truth, the authenticity in a relationship if we're clouded, as Neptune can sometimes bring, the cloud of illusion, right? Or of idealism into it. Now, I'm not saying don't be idealistic. I'm not saying don't be romantic. And I am definitely not saying don't be loving and kind. Or empathic, because this is a sign of empathy as well, or a coming together that triggers our empathy. I am saying, though, don't get swept away by grand romantic gestures, right? Unless you're already engaged in a romantic relationship. We might all sort of be feeling a longing for that soulful connection with someone. So whether you are engaged with someone already or have a one-to-one committed relationship or not, there can be this feeling, this longing to connect more fully in love. And we want love that kind of transcends the ordinary during this time. And that is Piscean, Neptunian, and Venus energies all brought together. And it makes it very hard for us to see clearly what is love and what is just that romanticism, right? So we want to be careful there. We may also be very heightened in our sensitivities, right? Being more emotionally sensitive, being more psychically sensitive, being more tender-hearted, easily hurt, maybe feeling more vulnerable. And there's a deep empathy and compassion for others during that period of time. And we all may become more attuned to the needs and the feelings of our loved ones, right? Or of our friends, or the plight of our neighbors, or the people, you know, around us. And I think that's something huge that we need on this planet. I think it's something huge we need on this, in this country. And I'm sure other countries feel the same way, where sometimes we get to be so black and white about things like immigration. You know, there are real people suffering at the borders. Whatever your ideology is about immigration, think of the people. And what they are in, what are they feeling? How are they experiencing this, right? It's real easy to just make laws that say, yep, go back home. Get out of this country. We don't want you here, right? You didn't do it legally, so you don't get in. But that doesn't talk about the person involved, right? So we have to be more aware. And that's just one issue. And I, because I can overplay that one, that's why I chose that one. But in your own life, in your own personal life, remember that the people are people, in your lives, and they have feelings and they have experiences and they have vulnerabilities and all of that. So be more sensitive, more compassionate to those around you, and be more attuned to what the people around you, be more attuned to your own self. What do you need to feel loved, right? What do you need to feel more cared for, more heard, or more listened to? All of that. Now, creativity and inspiration also take a spike during this time, as Neptune is associated with creativity and inspiration. And its conjunction with Venus, the artist, and artistry with Venus can inspire our artistic expression, our imagination. It can, you know, play out in music, in poetry, in actual art, in film. I mean, there could be all kinds of ways that we express ourselves artistically, in dance, right? In creation of a business, in how you arrange your kitchen. We went to my youngest daughter's house yesterday for Easter, and she had rearranged the furniture on her deck, and it made such an impact. And I know that sounds so, you know, like minimal, but it had impact, right? The small things sometimes add up to big impact. And because there is artistry, there is decoration, there is sort of a feng shui feel to this to me, you know, you can be artistic in the way that you arrange things, right? Or do things. Explore the depths of your own artistic vision, whatever that is, right? No one has to be an artist by painting, you know, a Van Gogh kind of painting. But wherever it is that you can apply your artistry in your life, you are being prompted to do so with this conjunction of Venus and Neptune. There's also a very spiritual connection here, because remember, Pisces is a sign that is deeply connected to spirit, to spirituality, and the subconscious mind. When Venus aligns with Neptune here in Pisces, then there's a heightened awareness of the spiritual influences and the spiritual dimensions of love and relationships, right? We're taking it to a new height here. And people might be seeking a deeper, more soulful connection to one another, to their partners. And there's a greater emphasis then on unconditional love, on compassion, on forgiveness, embracing, you know, the other in a loving way. And then on the other hand, there's escapism and illusion, because the Venus-Neptune conjunction in Pisces can be beautiful and ethereal and so imbued with the not real, right? So there could be a tendency to want to escape, right? Escapism is one of Neptune's more negative aspects. And we're escaping perhaps into the illusion. The illusion of the virtual realm, perhaps, right? It always concerns me that our youth are so into virtual reality, right? One of my granddaughters has this thing that she wears. It's like a big goggle, and in it are the scenes of the game that she's playing, where she's totally immersed in this game. I think they call it an Oculus. And that word also makes me go crazy, but never mind that. But you know, that is a world of illusion where we're escaping perhaps the pain or of the reality that we live in. So there's that, right? So it's important to be mindful of the need of that tendency to want to escape, or the tendency to buy into an illusion. Neptune's influence can blur boundaries here and distort reality. That's kind of the negative Neptune. There's glamour, or the glimmer, is it, right? Glamour, not glamour like I'm glamorous in the way I dress and that kind of things, but the glamour, which is just, you know, like lipstick put on the pig. We have to be careful of that kind of thing. So we need to maintain a balance then between realism and idealism. Not so easy necessarily during a day like that, but it's there. And because it's a conjunction, it starts a new relationship between Venus and Neptune for the foreseeable future. So we have an opportunity then to avoid falling prey to unrealistic fantasies or to deception or to illusion during this next period of time, right? We get to maybe revamp our relationship with imagination and, bringing in more artistry perhaps, but being fully present to what it is that we are doing. All right. Questions about anything this morning? Let's see. Amanda J. Aries is in my 12th. Natal Mars is retrograde, and retrograde Chiron is there too. Yep. So there's a lot of contemplation potential here for you. Clearing out of your subconscious mind. Looking at the patterns, Amanda, that are running the show. Looking at the subconscious that drives the questions that keep coming up in your life, or the questions, the things that aren't clear, the things that you want clarity about. This is a great time for all of that. And Mercury is retrograde there too, so it likely is taking you backwards into other situations. It would be a great contemplation time for you, right? To really look at what's going on. How does my mind drag me into maybe old patterns, digging up old patterns? Or how does my mind trigger boldness going forward now? Because Aries energy is bold, right? But your boldness feels like it's been kind of tamped down by Mercury in retrograde, going, in transit retrograde, but also your Mars being retrograde and having Aries, the house of action, that's really in the hidden realms, the subconscious realms there. Okay. And Christine says, reminds me of one of my old favorite songs by Imagination, Just an Illusion. Yes, yes, indeed. Aries is in my 9th house, Jane Robinson says, and the 9th house is the house of growth and expansion. So is there some, besides growth and expansion, think about this. The 9th house is where you hold your beliefs, your philosophies, your religious learning, or your spiritual learning. Your higher self resides in the 9th house. And it's always wanting us to elevate and to expand and to evolve. Okay. So in this opportunity for you, it might be, how do I want to evolve? Right. My consciousness is evolving. And how do I elevate my consciousness here? And we do that sometimes in the 9th house by traveling, by interacting with other people, other nationalities, other, just the foreignness. I don't like that word necessarily, but something that's not the usual for you. So maybe getting out of your usual and, testing some boundaries maybe might be kind of a good time for you for growth and elevation. J-Lo, I have 11th, 10th Aries with Jupiter and Chiron in the house. Depending on those degrees, then you're focusing in career, your authority and authenticity versus the 11th house, which is about your bigger dreams and hopes, but also the people, the social media aspects, right? The interactions that you have with others, maybe doing more humanitarian work. The 11th house loves the humanitarian aspect. Jolie has hers in the 7th house that focuses on relationships and partnerships, but also open enemies. Right? The 7th house is kind of tricky that way. It is the reflection of the I am. So if you have Aries on the 7th house, then you've got to look to your 1st house where Libra is to see what the conflicts are in your relationships that are really just mirrors of the conflicts that you have with yourself or that are within you. So a very I time for you, even though it's happening in a 7th house. Okay, ruled by Aries, definitely. And J-Lo, thanks for the reminder. Please take a moment and hit the thumbs up button if you're on, YouTube, and hit the like button if you are watching this on Facebook. And please share with your networks of friends, with your own social media. Let people know what is going on out here in the world. I have no clue what time it is. 8:44. Good. I still have time because now I want to talk about Venus. moving into Aries. So that whole Venus conjunct Neptune was going on in Pisces. And then as soon as she completes that conjunction with all that compassion and sensitivity, imagination, romanticism, spirituality, she takes it and moves it into Aries. She gives it a new beginning. Right? She brings it into a bold and courageous sign where her counterpart Mars rules. Right? So let's see what that's going to be about. So remember, Venus is the planet of love and beauty and harmony, and Aries is ruled by Mars. So it's about assertion. It is about dynamic, fiery action, perhaps the taking of steps forward, courage, right? That kind of energy. So we can expect that we are going to kind of blend passion and assertiveness during the transit of Venus in Aries. So she's just adding her energy to this already very populated sign by transit planets right now. And any planets that you have in Aries, of course, are also being hit by these transiting planets and bringing up issues, perhaps, or driving the opportunities that are coming up for you, driving your experiences or the potential for the experiences that you will have. So Aries is known for that fiery assertion, and Venus, the planet of love, entering Aries then adds a passionate energy to that assertion, to that assertiveness. So moving forward, so we may all feel more bold about sharing from the depths of who we are, about sharing from our passions. Right now, some of you might be tiptoeing around, you know, kind of letting out a little bit of noise about what it is that you're really passionate about. But during Venus's transit here, you might be coming out of the closet, right? Becoming more vocal, more bold about letting people know who you are and what you're doing and what you love and where you want to go and how you see the world, okay? And there can be an added level of enthusiasm in it, right? And determination to keep going and sharing of your passions. There's initiative in love here as well. Aries is a sign of initiation and initiating action, right? That's the key. So therefore, there could be a tendency during this transit for us to be more forward in letting other people know what we need from them or what we want from them. And that might be, you know, willingness to approach people that you might want to date if you're in the dating game, of telling people what it is that you, that really makes you happy, right? So that can be pursuing more romance, pursuing your values, taking and pursuing whatever it is by nature is in the house that you have Aries in, okay? Independence and freedom, we can't leave Aries energy alone with that, right? That is just a hallmark. Aries really values independence and values freedom. And therefore, that can also be something that influences our relationships during this period of time. We might have a desire for autonomy. We might hear words like autonomy, like sovereignty, more forcefully used in the world by people. And that's because there's a need with this number of planets that are going through Aries for maintaining our own individuality, right? Within the context of a relationship. So we're all, you know, we are all in relationships of some kind or another, whether they're romantic or platonic, that doesn't matter. But we're in relationships and we all need to learn to be our own individual self in those relationships, but also allowing for the other person to be their own autonomous self in the relationship. So what this can lead to overall is a sense of personal growth in our self-expression. And if we are able to grow in self-expression, maybe we're also more willing to hear what other people have to say about and how they express themselves. This is a sign of spontaneity, of impulsivity. Think, you know, we have the saying that says, think first, act later. Well, the kind of saying gets turned around and it might be act first, think later. So be careful with that. The impulsiveness of Aries thrives on excitement and adventure. And when Venus transits through this sign, people tend to seek out thrilling and spontaneous experiences in love and romance, you know, being more forward, being open to taking risks in love and trying new things, going new places, doing things that can keep a spark alive in your relationships and all of that. So it can be very exciting in love and in romance. And it can also be quick romances, right? Remember, Mercury's retrograde still. And Aries is known for that fast-paced energy. And that can kind of get defined by relationships that are kind of churning, right? In one relationship, out of that one, and into another relationship. So we want to be very careful, right? Don't expend too much energy in relationships that aren't like based in any kind of longevity. If they're just based in romance or impulsiveness, you know, be aware of that, right? Don't go looking for a long-term relationship from a one-night stand, right? It's possible, sure, but not likely during this period of time. So while the initial passion you might feel or romance that you might feel with that person can be intense, it's important to know that you're really, what you're really after is long-term compatibility and stability. And you might not have that in what seems like a really good relationship at the beginning that turns out to be, you know, just from the blush of impulsivity. Self-assertion is another big key here during this transit, especially when we're talking about Venus in Aries. We're talking about your style, right? Your personal way of dressing, of speaking, of acting. And so you can be encouraged with Venus in Aries to really express who you are, right? From the colors you wear, to the way you wear your hair, to the makeup you wear, to the shoes you wear, to the places you go, all of these things, right? Your anything that extends to beauty and to your personal style, your sense of beauty is all heightened during Venus's transit through Aries. We might feel more confident in the way that we look or in the things that we wear that we wouldn't normally wear. So we could be bold and daring in the way that we show up and, you know, be encouraged to promote your unique style, right? Be yourself. So overall, while Venus is transiting through the sign of Aries, we're fusing passion and assertiveness and independence in matters of love and relationships, especially. It's a time for being spontaneous, but in the right way, right? Not in the risky, overly risky sort of way, but take the initiative, express your truth, express your desires with courage and enthusiasm. And that is what will sustain you through the 3.5-4 weeks of Venus's transit in Aries. And of course, you know, she's adding that energy to everything else that's already going on there, right? So keep that in mind too. All right. I can't believe I didn't put my phone over here so that I don't know how time got away from me. Let's take a look at questions. So Jolie, we did yours. J-Lo, Jupiter 8 degrees, Chiron 24 degrees. Good morning, Terry. Good to have you joining us. I just joined the club. Good for you. It's good to see you out there. If we really take a look at your Jupiter and Chiron, they're not all that close together. They're not in orb, I would say, right? But if they're in the sign of Aries, which I suspect is why you brought that up, J-Lo, then we can expect them to be hit because of the number of planets that are there. It's like, let's see, the only thing I have in Aries is my midheaven. Yeah. But all these planets transiting across my midheaven are increasing my focus or lack of focus in everything to do with career and profession. Actually, I've been reevaluating all of that, even down to the things that I might, you know, use in my business. And do I want to re-up them or not? So there's a lot of focus in where in the house that has Aries in it. And when Jolie was talking earlier about hers being in the seventh, you know, maybe the focus there for her could be about relationship, because the seventh house is marriage, or, you know, the significant relationships. And you can notice maybe how good you're doing without a significant relationship, but perhaps you're also noticing how you miss having a significant relationship. So the relationship issues would be very much heightened during this period of time. Anything to do with relationship to myself or relationship to another person with the first and seventh house would be up in your face at this moment. Business partnerships as well. You know, starting a new job, Jolie, is also a new business partnership. You may not be going into business with a person, but you're literally going into a new job, which is a business, right? And hopefully that begins a new relationship with an employer. So that could be positive, right? So all of it kind of works through no matter where you have it. So for example, J-Lo, you said that was across your 10th house and 11th house. So it's also in fact impacting your fourth house and your fifth house by opposition, right? The fourth house of home and family and roots and what constitutes a foundation, and the fifth house of joy and creativity and your children and taking risks. Right? There's taking qualified risks. So we, you know, it's not just one place, really. There's a focal point, a focal place, but it's really impacting things around the block, if you will, because there's so much going on in one spot. Jolie says, I'm a security officer at our airport. Interesting, right? So you are kind of a singular entity working for a bigger, I'm assuming that must be TSA, right? So working for a bigger institution, but as a person that's maybe a part of a team, right? So starting that as a new relationship, essentially. All right. Anybody else have questions? You can go ahead and put those down in the chat. I'm going to pull us a card from the Psychic Tarot. And this is by John Holland. And Debbie Tibbetts-Tumule and I actually met John Holland and Colette Baron-Reed a couple of years back. We took a cruise with them. They are fascinating people and wonderful to be on a cruise with, right? We learned tons, didn't we, Deb? And just fascinating to watch both of them. Colette, even though she does mostly oracle cards, and that's what we kind of know her for, she's also a medium. She also is very well versed in astrology and kind of brings them all together in an interesting way. So the card I got was fertility. Interesting. Fertility. And it's card number 3. And let's see what fertility means here. This is the first time using this deck. I didn't even get to play with it this weekend. So here we go. Through this card, the manifestation of growth is on the horizon. You're the creator, and the seeds that have been planted in the past, whether they were happiness, comfort, abundance, prosperity, family, children, ideas, or even thoughts, are now ready to give birth into your world. Be patient as you watch your seeds take root and grow. Nurture them as they become strong and healthy. Open yourself to the life force of the universe. This card also represents femininity and Mother Earth, who is calling to you. The arms of her beauty are reaching out. She wants to embrace you on her seashores, mountains, forests, and gardens. Go to her and meet her halfway. Acknowledge that the same energy that makes up the heavens, earth, plants, animals, and mineral kingdom is also a part of you. Start nurturing yourself and infuse your soul with love and compassion. Soon others will see and feel your devotion. As you interact with others around you now, or even if you're in the midst of solving a problem, use gentle care and kindness as you handle such situations. This isn't a time for you to be inconsiderate, possessive, domineering, forceful, or pushy. all very Aries gone wrong words. Act from the loving space of your heart center. The benevolent energy that resides there will assist you in making sacrifices in order to care for and help others, as well as yourself. This is the traditional tarot archetype of the Empress. So fertility. I forgot this is actually the psychic tarot. So it's a tarot deck. All right, guys. Well, that is it for me today. I will be back on Friday. So I will see you then. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. Take care. Bye for now.
Do you wish you could better understand yourself and what is going on in the world? Well, grab your cup of coffee or tea and join the podcast Living Astrology with Janet Hickox for Astrology, Human Design, and Gene Key's Wisdom. Mondays and Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Podcasts are available on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and your other favorite outlets.